When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
They took nothing. I was gonna whisper.
Down in my teeth, I got a lot of shine. Running up the number, that's a lot of crime.
To be honest, I don't know how much.
Taking from me must be at your mind.
I don't know how much. Yeah, exactly. That's gonna look like.
Got a shine.
Wow.
Smoky in the air.
Big guy like myself, standing over top of the world.
There were some happy campers in the building. This was his first game. Eagles game. His father reached out and said, thank you for all the help today. We got greetings and salutations. You see him in the chat. He showed up for some Bud Light. Good times. Shout out to Conchi Bakery holding us down with the tomato pies. But overall, it was a great day. And I think the energy, starting with the practice, was insane. 50,000 plus. It gets bigger and bigger every year. I know Eagle fans have been – there's a lot of Eagle fans that were running through the hallways. I saw the women and children almost getting hurt. It was a crazy scene out there, but I digress. Go ahead.
Yeah, no. I mean, it was a great tailgate, man. It was one of those things. I mean, we're kind of turning this into a yearly thing as our kickoff tailgate for this open practice. And it's always fun to get out there, but then, like, once you're out there, you're sitting there like, damn. I am so thankful that football is played in the fall, because if this was a summer sport and I had to tailgate in this heat every week, man, I would die. But no, it was a fun time. It was great to see everybody again. It felt like, you know, we're right back in it, ready for some football, man. And then we went inside and, you know, we watched the birthday boy throw down. It was a good time.
I gave you a bit of a synopsis of what I started out to. I didn't go in and watch practice, because I was at the they had the Legends practice. I don't know if you saw my post. I was there with Ryan Phillip and his son at the Eagles practice, where they had all the, you see it. So a couple of guys. We had to take a picture with Brandon Whiting, those light skinned guy with the glasses. You saw me, him, and Ike take a picture together. That picture was. It was kind of funny, because they were in the same, I want to say either they were in the same draft or back to back. But what ended up happening is both of those guys end up playing defensive end, but one of them played tackle. And as you know, Ike is was a linebacker. So gotcha. in the one year we kind of lost, like, all the defensive ends got hurt. So I'm looking out to the defensive end, and it's Ike standing out there. I'm like, oh God. And then Ike was a soldier, and he was out there making plays and stuff. The funniest thing, though, is and Ike will tell you this, is little guys always want to do what big guys do. So he wanted to do one of the stunts where the end goes first. No. You remember, he's only 6'3", 215 pounds, trying to run into the inside of the wedge collar. And he's like, come on, let's do it. I was like, no. So he did it anyway. And you ever seen one of those scenes where they throw somebody out the club?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Like, what's it called, from Fresh Prince of Bel Air?
But it was like that. But it was great seeing all the fans, dude. That was almost like a game, that practice, the open practice.
Oh yeah, and I had never seen people get into the second deck like that at an open practice.
Yeah,
It was actually probably the third deck.
Third deck, yeah.
Even like out there in the plaza, I was out there in the plaza. Dude, the plaza was jam packed. But the thing that I enjoyed the most was and we could say something about the one Cowboys fan, but then I just seen a post where one of our fans went to a open Panthers practice, so we can't really say too much about it. So I guess we could just say football is football. Once football gets started, people don't care what they go see, but they're going to represent their team. And he was down there at Panther Stadium with the Eagles jersey on. But the Cowboy dude, he just came in there. The Cowboy dude had the flag and stuff. You had to know that something was going to happen.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we had a Giants fan as well on the other opposite side. It's funny, the whole stadium gets in a tizzy after those moments. But when I tell you, the moment they got in a good tizzy is when Jalen Hurts stepped into that stadium. Like I've been there at a lot of open practices over the years, and there was just a level of like just a stoic moment where he just turned around and looked at the crowd, and he didn't have to say anything. I felt like I could get what he was saying.
Respect,
but the whole crowd was going bananas.
Yeah,
bananas.
You think it's more of a respect thing because the people in the media outside of Philadelphia have been sprinkling the salt and the hate. Like I told him earlier. I happened to unfortunately click on ESPN, and they had Lewis Reddick and two young ladies. Bless their heart. They didn't know what the hell they were talking about. They were talking about the Cowboys could take the NFC. Take it where? Out to lunch? You know, like, and they would start talking about Michael Parsons and then Dak Prescott. They have all the ingredients to do what? To lead the league in interceptions, not including the two in the playoffs. And not only that, you're one of your key cogs, your offensive guard, your best offensive lineman on your team is not in camp. So actually,
I would go as far as to say that's their best offensive player.
Yeah, and then you had to have Lewis Riddick. If you could see his face while they're saying and spewing all of this nonsense, and I say all that to say that Dak and the entire team has been getting disrespected this entire offseason. So I feel like it's one of those things to where hopefully they take it personal and they show up. They got to know that they're going to be the hunted, but they got to know in being the hunted, you can still be the hunter. You kicking in the teeth and letting them know, not today. You're not finna have no celebration today. Not today. And if it was me, the way that they're doing stuff, got to rank like fifth and ninth behind bums. Do you know that they're trying to say that Daniel Jones is a top 10 quarterback? On what earth? On what earth? And we listening to the stupidity that comes out of some of these people's mouth, and they often say, "Oh, you bring out your asses that you played." I was like, "But I'm telling the truth. Even though I played, I say what I see and I see what I say." It's been times when the Eagles we've been stinking up the joint, or we didn't know if we were going to win. That's not the case now. And I've given other teams, I even give the Cowboys kudos when they had a decent. They've had a decent team, but their coaching just sucks. They throw themselves out of every game. I was like, so to have everybody doing what they're doing as far as like where they got Dak ranked and stuff, but I got Jalen. That's bad host. Jalen, and then that just tearing our team apart, man.
But most importantly,
okay.
I mean, Jalen Hurts being ranked number 3 on the NFL's top 100 list, which is a list put together by players. Mm-hmm. Are we in agreement that that's a fair assessment?
I think 3 is was a pretty good spot for him.
It's okay, but who's 2 and 1 though?
It was Justin Jefferson at 2 and Pat Mahomes at 1. I could see the argument to be made. I think
Justin still should have been 3 because he did. It was only two teams in the Super Bowl. And yeah, I don't care. It's like this. When people start talking all that crap about who's got the best team, when in the AFC last year, it was the Chiefs. In the NFC, it was the Eagles. If your team, it's not like your team didn't know that there was a playoff game that you were supposed to play in. Y'all didn't win. So you're not better than you. You just got a quarterback that just threw 300 yards.
Because then by your logic, then the top 44 players should be Eagles and Chiefs only.
They should be mostly me.
No, that's just not true. I mean, Justin Jefferson's an elite player.
He is an elite player, but was he in the Super Bowl? Did he show up? Did he throw 300 for 300 yards in the Super Bowl?
He didn't do any of those things. But that doesn't make him.
That's what I'm saying. You have to speak in reality.
I think you're the one that's out on the reservation, man.
Okay, who was the last? What's Justin Jefferson playing on the final Sunday of the NFL season?
He's a wide receiver.
That means nothing. Was he playing on the final Sunday?
This is a stupid argument.
I know.
Anyway, this is about Jalen Hurts here.
Exactly.
It's about Jalen Hurts here. Other than the top three NFL top 100 lists, the guy's birthday was yesterday. I think it's a perfect time to just give Jalen Hurts his flowers. I mean, he's been tremendous. I think overall, just looking at his awareness, what he means to the city. I mean, you see a photo that was put out by Carson Wentz recently. Which many people thought that was a Photoshop. That it wasn't real. There's a picture of Carson Wentz in an Eagles helmet, Washington jersey, and Colts shorts. And I mean, just the awareness level. When he showed up to his presser with Washington in a Oscar Mayer Wieners suit. I was concerned the level of custom shoes that he had put out on the timeline. I'm like concerned. At the end of the day, I'm appreciative of having a quarterback who's just self-aware.
Dude, I agree with you entirely. And that Carson thing really is aside from the whole, obviously his play is a total head scratcher, but just him as a person, the entire makeup, whether it be, you know, the outfits he throws together or just how he interacts with his own teammates. Like just thinking back to when he was the franchise guy here and how quickly he became unliked just by the rest of his team, by the fan base, just because he refused to bend at all in the type of person that he was. I'm thankful as hell to have a guy like Jalen Hurts that you can relate a lot more to, and it's just a better overall fit for the team.
Wait, you know the funny thing about Carson, it wasn't his unwillingness. I guess you could say it's his unwillingness to bend, but I think it was us finding out what type of teammate he was. It's like he read those colors late, and it's like you always figure out who you have when the chips are down or when it's time to fight. He didn't really, and the funny thing to me is there was really no adversity. They had pretty much handed him the team on a silver platter. It's like even when they brought in Jalen Hurts, I was laughing because I was like, dude, they just gave you $184 million. All they're doing is ensuring you didn't finish last season, and they still paid you. It's like, so that means that they have confidence in you, confidence in your play and stuff. It's like, and the way that he handled that was the bitchiest stuff that I've ever seen in my life. I was like, there's no way on God's green earth that you already got a coach fired and they still want you as their guy. And you still want to leave. And then you go to the other place and stick up the joint. Not only do you stick up the joint.
You got that head coach fired too.
Yeah, you got, not only get that head coach fired, but when you get there, you don't endear yourself because you wait to the last minute to tell them that you're one of the only players that hadn't been vaccinated, and you're in the huddle. It's like, and I'm not big on telling people what to do, but in that situation, if you're supposed to be the leader of a team, and you can miss time, and then the penalty if you're not vaccinated, and you catch it, you miss more time because you're not vaccinated.
Right.
So it's like that means you haven't bought in. Or you haven't sold out. Put it that way. You're not all in, and it's like for him to be like that and to try to be a leader. It's easy to do that it's easy to not be all in if you're not the leader of the squad because you're the face of the franchise. They're trying to make you the face of the franchise. But if you're not all in, why should anybody else be all in?
I got to be honest. I'm ready to close the book on the Carson.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Like, thank you. I'm so that's, beyond Carson. Yeah. I don't want to ever think about him again.
Thank you. That's no more bad thoughts.
It's a good scene out here. Just a good scene talking about the training camp practice on Sunday. Some training camp standouts. There's a few out there. You over the last couple of weeks, you've heard about Jalen Hurts and his accuracy. And there's a, you know, he had a conversation with Mike Quick about watching what he loved about Brady and his practice habits and hearing Tom Brady. Jalen Hurts said what he loved about his game is that when practicing, the ball never hits the ground. That's something you've heard a lot about Eagles camp right now. The ball is not really hitting the ground that much. He's being very accurate, hitting his guys on target. So that's what I saw right off the bat. To me, I was just like, it's really pitch and catch out there for Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, I heard that today was a little bit less productive. I heard he threw a couple picks today.
Yeah,
we're gonna do that. We secondary starts to gel together and get. See, the thing is I don't mind picks in practice because you should have like the top, especially when you have a top tier defense in the secondary. We have. I don't mind in practice. Just don't do it in the game.
Right.
It's one of those things where he better have some bad days as far as defensively. It's like defensively we need to show up. Defensively, we need to show up. Bob was saying about the vaccine. It was the way that he presented it to the team. Like he got vaccinated, then they found out he didn't get vaccinated all the way up to the head guy. I was like, I don't have a problem with you, whatever the hell it is you want to do, but don't act like you're doing something and you're not doing it. That's what it's like he was fugazi. And now Bob, let's close the book on that.
If we're getting back to training camp standards, there was one thing that stood out to me, and I was kind of waiting for somebody to catch my eye in that open practice and then just kind of follow them as they go throughout their individual drills. But I saw at one point, I didn't see initially what had caused it, but Sidney Brown had gotten pissed off, man. He was heated about something, and then he was playing angry, man. And when I saw that, I was like, oh, I fuck with this. Dude, he missed this one hit that thankfully he did miss it, man, because he would have sent
Nada.
Yeah, he would have sent Nada to the ER, bro. He was headhunting. And but I just saw not only his ability to hit, which seems like is pretty good, but his ability to also just follow the ball carrier through, through blockers, that type of thing. He's able to close really well. I think down by the line of scrimmage, I think he's going to be a menace. Go ahead.
Did you notice he was playing with the ones some too?
Yes. Yeah.
He moved all the way up from third string.
Yeah.
Somebody was asking,
and he looks jacked, bro. He's got like a freaking 12 pack.
Yeah. It's like he's about your size, just ripped up. But
see, when I brought up his abs during the Senior Bowl, you guys were like, "A dude's ripped."
Yeah,
he's a ripped dude. Ripped.
No, but it was like what? But he's out. He's jumped from the third string, being the third string, all the way up to playing and stuff. And we were talking about the one thing that jumped out to me at training camp was Ryan Smith. Nolan Ryan. I don't know why I want to call him Ryan.
Nolan Ryan. You're talking about Nolan Smith. Nolan Ryan, the old pitcher.
Nolan Smith. the intimidator. Nolan, his speed, the speed level, which when he hits the line, I've seen a rush a couple of times. It was like, oh, God. And now he's given Lane and what's called a fits because I don't think they've ever been messed with that type of speed coming off the edge. So even with them going against Michael Parsons, you know, it's like, I think he's a little bit faster than that. And not, they've lined him up off the ball too a little bit. That's why I was telling Gail earlier about the defense early on. It's good. Maybe some trials and tribulations. I think he's going to keep it simple so he can win games. But later on, I think it will get exotic. What did somebody say?
No, I do want to just before we move on, I want to build on your Nolan Smith point and that that was another guy that did stand out to me as far as just how quickly he jumps off the line. Like his speed is no joke. And we knew that, you know, during the combine. I think he ran like a 4.39, was it? 40. So we knew the speed was there, but to see it in person, it really is night and day versus like other guys that get that jump off the line.
Now, I mean, a lot of buzz going around Sidney Brown, a lot of people talking him up. One thing that I've heard talked up from a lot of the beats, I saw Todd in the chat calling him Captain America. Reed Blankenship could be a lock. He's got that locked, according to some beats out there. I know Kempski was super high on him.
Lock as in starter lock?
Starter lock. Now it's just left for the last position. I mean, there's an interesting. We're seeing Kayvon Wallace get some first team reps. He's been flashing out there. What do you think about Kayvon Wallace?
To be honest with you, bro, it's one of those things that you need to prove it to me in a game.
Thank you.
As of right now, it's also, is it my mic?
Your mic's fine.
No, you are.
Now we can't hear you, buddy.
Now we can't hear you. What'd you do?
We got the production guy over here. Have a mic issue.
But if he thinking what I'm thinking is that he's got to do something mainly spectacular in the game or something. Like when you watch this is what I need to see from Kevon Wallace. When you watch the preseason games, it's gonna be twos in there, second unit. He needs to be dominating. It's like he needs to look like he shouldn't be out there making sport of these guys. Other than that, I don't care. It's like because he's already shown me nothing. And it's like if he looks pedestrian out there with all the twos.
Can't hear you.
Unmute yourself, Ev.
No, I mean, I think Brown's going to find his way into a role. I mean, I think that's exactly what.
Well, so Brown is, but Kevon Wallace ain't. We talking about Kevon Wallace,
right? Kevon Wallace.
Kevon Wallace, it's almost at the end of the line for him. I think, as far as like being here, if this is the next defensive coordinator in here, he's going to have some guys. They brought some guys in. They brought in Edmonds, and they brought in the kid Evans out of who also good, and they're on mercenary style deal. So I think they're gonna. Just like I told you when they signed the 1 year deals. Good, Ev. Are you here, Ev?
I'm here now. Can you hear
cool,
me?
Cool, cool. Yeah, I hear you. Okay. Well, now, what was you gonna say about Kevon?
I was gonna say that it basically what you said about how he really needs to go out in the preseason. He needs to prove it to me. Not in practice. I'm sick of hearing about. Oh, we saw some flashes with Kevon in practice. And on top of that, dude, he's another one. Just stay off social media, man. Because every time I see this dude posting, I'm like, it just annoys me. Because it's like, well, he's a guy that, you know, he wants to pump. I want you to have confidence. I want you to pump yourself up. But you need to, if you've been doing that for years and then you never have lived up to what you talk about, eventually you got to shit or get off the pot, man. You got to prove to me that you are, you know, as good as you say you are. So please just be quiet. Until you start making some plays. That's basically all I wanted to say.
Who's on social media?
Kayvon.
He's been on social media after the donkey?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Really?
He'll say some things here and there, you know. But speaking of some.
It's hard to take that shit serious. if you suck, I'm just saying. It's hard to take that serious.
It just gives me Jalen Reagor vibes is all. Because Jalen Reagor did the same thing where he would just spout off on Twitter about how he's not getting the respect he deserves. And he doesn't deserve that respect he wants.
Yeah, I just work here.
Yeah, right now, you know, talking about Kayvon Wallace, he has been in those three safety sets this season. Mm-hmm. You know, those guys that are being worked in there, you know, we got Blankenship, Justin Evans, Kayvon Wallace, and Terrell Edmonds in that package.
I think you know, sticking with the secondary, one guy that is kind of getting lost in the shuffle that I didn't think would be is Greedy Williams. Because he's not necessarily a lock to make this team from what it sounds like.
Yeah, because they've been bitching the kid that we got as an undrafted free agent last year out of Alabama.
Josh Jobe.
Yeah, they've been saying that he's been saying it. Well, not only you. I was hearing that even when I was at practice and stuff. Mm-hmm. It was like it was some quality coverage out there, put it that way.
So Josh Jobe, Greedy Williams are the number twos right now.
Yeah. But Josh Jobe has jumped up there. Greedy Williams, they haven't really been. He hasn't really been that steady. You know what I mean?
So is Keeley running with the threes right now?
He's been worked in with the twos and threes. But a guy that I need to show love to, we all love Nolan Smith in the pre-draft process, the fact that he's out here doing the Lord's work, I think not only bringing the juice off the field and being that source of energy on the field, he's been. I think he's. I think him going against Lane Johnson is going to be the best thing for his career. I think he's bringing pressure from both sides. All the beats have noticed the juice off the edge. I think he's just going to help his game elevate. You know, just if you can beat Lane Johnson on some snaps,
yeah,
it's been hard because he's been holding his own against Brandon Graham, Hassan Reddick. But he's going to teach you some lessons.
And think about also the like kind of just the culture that we've established here over the past several years. And like I'm thinking of the core four guys that we have, Lane Johnson, Kelsey, BG, and Cox. Like having those guys here to establish what the culture is, and those guys aren't going to be around much longer. But right. Now that we have added in this influx of the Georgia guys, I feel like they're going to kind of take over and dictate the direction in which the culture goes. And I think. You know, them having a year or two underneath of these guys, we're going to be in good hands.
Wealthy Mind has a question. He says, is the Miles signing more about depth or is N'Kobe the issue? I'll let you go, Tank.
I think it's more about depth. And I think it's more about the other linebacker position. And it's it depends on sometimes he wants to run three or four linebackers out there instead of having the defensive end out there. And the more guys that you could put in there that are I guess you could say physical and cover guys. Because when you look at Miles Jack, you think of a cover guy, but you think of a guy who's often hurt, it's like he's got a soft tissue in your hamstring or something, or a quad contusion or something where he can't go. So you bring him in there as an insurance policy. I was like, because everybody's, as much as we wish and that we hope that everybody stays healthy the entire season, you got to look for quality depth. And I don't know if the kid out of Michigan State that they were coveting is going to be quite the answer. I was like, he's probably got a few years to go, but you always want that veteran presence. And also they played under the style of defense that Desai is looking to employ. So it's great to have those guys. Cause I think Miles Jackson was taking reps with the ones today. So, jump right in there. But Miles Jack plays all three linebacker positions. So he's one of those guys where you can insert and handle business.
I mean, Dean, I'm gonna let Ev get into his segment in a sec, but I know Dean was dealing with an ankle. It was just for precautionary reasons. They're not too concerned at all. Right. But Christian Ellis, Sean Bradley got first team reps. Mm-hmm. Moro and Van Tumeren got first team reps. And at the time we had four a healthy linebacker. So obviously the acquisition of Miles Jack, Zach Cunningham, both on 1 year deals, 2.5 mil. We also had to send Davion Taylor out of the nest. And then we also brought back Josh Andrews, who's also moved up to the second team center. Brett Toth has been moved back. And there was notes out there that Marcus Mariota has looked better since the snaps have changed.
I'm also interested. Did you guys at the open practice happen to catch anything from Christian Ellis? My eyes were kind of focused elsewhere, but that was a guy that I really wanted to, because I've heard so much hype about him this entire training camp process, and I wanted to kind of catch a glimpse of him. I just didn't see him.
Well, I seen him when he played during the season. When we got him at the end of the season, I was happy that when they went and got him to play those special teams, and I already knew that he could play linebacker. But we need him for special teams, and now it'll be interesting to see if he could actually take that next step. Because I think that's wherever he was, that was his next step of starting to get some actual playing reps. So I've seen what he can do. Is just like, can he put it together enough of it together? See, the thing is when we're watching him, I don't just like to see flashes of people making plays. You got to build some consistency. You got to be in there and be making plays. Be a part of all the time. Be a cause all the time. Yeah. It's like you can't. It's like if you go in there, that's the only difference between a starter and a backup is consistency. Like a starter, he can have good games, like 5-6 games in a row. Then he may have a little bit of off game, but then he battles back. A backup, he may have one good game in a row, and then you looking on Tuesday to see about replacing his ass or getting him some help or something. So that's the difference. It's like you got when the guys build up some consistency with playing. That's the one thing that I need to see from Chris.
Yeah. Mm.
I saw that he came up with a play on Boston Scott. He came up for a run blitz there. Now, Pete Nathan hyped up about Miles Jack. If you go through any of my social medias, basically on Twitter, you'll see me talking about Miles Jack for almost about 5 years now. But recently in March of last year, about bringing Miles Jack to the Nest. Now he's here. So obviously, I don't think he's the same player as he was once was. But I think from an athleticism standpoint and just a, you know, a guy that you can rely on. He's been there, done that. I think, you know, you think you can line him up to N'Kobe Dean alongside N'Kobe Dean. If that's the play, I think that could be a serviceable group. But what are you guys' initial feelings on Miles Jack?
I think it's one of those things that we're going to have to see how he fits into the offense. As it sits right now, I think he's just a depth guy, and I don't think he'll end up being the starter. Dependent on how long this N'Kobe ankle thing kind of gets stretched out. But yeah, I think he's a quality depth signing, man. I think for a position that we definitely needed some depth in, how he went and filled that void.
Miles Jack, it's kind of funny that you mentioned him. It's like the one part that I don't like is the often hurt part. But I think lining him up next to him, especially like I was telling you on the one-year deal, it'll be one of those things where you would hope that he can stay healthy the whole season. But that's why you add the depth in general, because you get the guys on the one-year deal. They're on a mercenary type thing, a mercenary type deal, because they want to deal next year. So, you know,
we'll see. His past four seasons, he's had 66 tackles, four tackles for loss, a 0.5 half a sack, four pass breakups. This is 2019, 11 games played. 2020, 14 games played, 118 tackles, 18 tackles for loss, one sack, five pass breakups. 2021 stats, 108 tackles, three tackles for loss, no sacks, no pass breakups. And in 2022, 15 games played, 104 tackles, three tackles for loss, zero sacks, but three pass breakups.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm looking at, too, his draft profile of when he came out in, what was it, 2016?
Yeah.
I mean, considering how they rated him, he's definitely not living up to, you know, his expectations.
You know, the funny thing about him, actually, my agent was actually his agent.
Really?
Yeah. The funny thing about him is he played fullback as well and tailback and coming out of college. And I think he only played linebacker for like that one season.
Yeah, he was kind of like Julius Peppers, wasn't he? He was kind of like multiple positions all over the field.
Well, a little bit, but he actually I saw some. I was like, he was a good running back. But it was like when you look at it, it's I think did he go in the second round?
Who's this, Miles?
Yeah, Miles Jack. Did he go in the second round? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought so. It's like he went in the second round. I think they was titling him as a first rounder, but he went to the second round. But it was due to his athleticism and what they thought that he could do. Now, once you get to the NFL, your athleticism means about as much as a bucket of warm hamster vomit, because everybody's athletic here. It's like it's what you could do up top.
How sick was that hamster? It filled up an entire bucket, man.
I don't know what hamsters you hanging out with.
I say about a bunch of hamsters.
This guy.
But now it's like if we get a whole season out of him, that should be spectacular. If we could get a whole good season out of him. He's a little long in the tooth now.
I say same with Zach Cunningham as well. Also a second round pick. 2019, 16 games played with 142 tackles, 10 tackles for loss, two sacks, two pass breakups. 2020, 164 tackles, eight tackles for loss, three sacks, two pass breakups. 2021, 14 games played, 93 tackles, 70 tackles for loss, zero sacks, but three pass breakups. 2022, 24 tackles, zero tackles for loss, zero sacks, one pass breakup, six games played. He was dismissed. Was he dismissed from the that was actually from the – dismissed early from the Houston.
Oh, okay.
For like a – I don't know what kind of issue it was, but it was interesting. It was
I wonder. It's like you butted out a bunch of production, but – but can everything left though?
For what we lost in Kaiser White in a coverage linebacker, I think Miles Jack, you know, can help with that area.
Is this these signings between Miles Jack and Zach Cunningham, would this be more of a Steven Tulloch signing or a or closer to a Kaiser White type of move.
I think the Miles Jack is closer to a Kaiser White. I think the second one is more of a Tully because he got dismissed for something. And so it's like when you read off Miles Jack's stats, there wasn't a lull in the action where he got dismissed from a team. So it's just like the other guy, he had tremendous production, but then all of a sudden you just unceremoniously get dismissed from a team. I wonder what the hell is up with that. And then you lasted till now.
Mm. Bob Downey saying that Terrell Edmonds is going to be the cover linebacker. Book it.
All right.
They have been having him down in the box a little bit. And I was telling him earlier about the Buffalo package to where they teach one of the safeties what one of the linebackers do.
Pete, this is kind of out of pocket, bro. TJ Edwards went all pro last year. How could you say he's an upgrade over an all pro?
Who?
He's saying that Miles Jack and Zach Cunningham are upgrades over TJ Edwards and Kazir Way. I disagree entirely, personally.
you sound offended, Evan.
I'm not offended. I'm being realistic. I want the expectations to be realistic for what we're going to get out of these guys. And yeah, I think that there's a reason that Miles Jack has been on the wire for so long.
Thank you. And there's other guys out there. I think this is more of a see if they still got it type of thing. I don't know if he's going to be here. It's like just like you said, they didn't really invest anything in him. It's a one-year deal. It's a one-year make it or break it deal. So it's like they didn't really invest anything. So, you know.
843 Philly fan asks, do you guys think Terrell Edmonds is going to make the 53-man roster? I would say yes.
I think so.
Yeah, I think so too.
Mm. Mm. Rack Jack, I got to tell you, I love the podcast name. NFL Masala.
Very nice. Very nice. Very nice. Now, if you guys have been following us, though, we actually went to the Eagles Autism Challenge. This is where this phrase came up with, what's the medicals? Evan Hollywood Hearn, he got Hollywood for a second and actually confronted said young rookie.
Who's on my list?
Said N'Kobe Dean. And asked him face. Not even, it wasn't one of those things where you ask around. He went to the man's face and he said, "What's up with the medicals?" So we have our own segment now where Evan's going to keep you updated on. So check the medicals with Hollywood Hearn is officially a
segment. So let me pull out my stethoscope here and go through what we got on the injury report. Today we had 3 non-participants in practice, all with ankle injuries, them being Deion Kane, N'Kobe Dean, and Patrick Johnson. In limited action, we saw Devin Allen, who's still working through a calf injury, and James Bradberry that's working through a groin injury. And then we all saw at the open practice, Moro Ojomo. He went to the locker room, he got poked in the eye. He is all fine. Everything is groovy. He was practicing today. So no long-term injury there. Keeping an eye on this N'Kobe Dean and Patrick Johnson thing. We're like we said, with Miles Jack and Cunningham, we're obviously kind of thin at linebacker. We brought those two guys in. And to have a guy that I think Patrick Johnson, I think, is a guy that has gotten progressively better each year that he's been in the system. Mm. And N'Kobe Dean, he's a guy that is we have a lot of high expectations for him to step in and eventually become a premier linebacker in the league. I think that's what the expectations from all of us are. So, hoping that those ankles can get short away. Well, that was the medical minute with Evan Hearn.
Now, what you said, now it makes sense why they brought the two linebackers in here guys, so they could get their guys shored up. And if they show them something to where they could knock somebody out of the box, I'm pretty sure that they'll keep them. But now that you said what you said, I'm like, oh, okay. So those are camp bodies. You know what a camp body is, don't you?
It's a jag.
No, it's a camp body. a camp body is when they bring you in to take some reps. If you show them something, cool. But you're really just in there to stay in shape again. You don't get a couple of checks, but it's because somebody else blew a gasket.
Do you know what JAG stands for?
Jaguar?
Just a guy.
Just a guy. Okay.
Just a guy.
I'm sorry.
You say he's just a guy.
Yeah. Well, I grew up in the era where you actually use your words.
Rap sex is
like if I say once, you don't know what once means, do you?
Once?
Once. We are not the same. Remember that.
Oh. Okay. Raksek says, let's see what you got in Devin Allen, the sprinter. He is a sprinter. We'll call him sprinter, but also he was activated today. He was on the non-football injury list. But we also signed former Colts wide receiver Johnny King, who was, he was our rookie free agent from South Missouri State. If you see some of the guys the Eagles are bringing in, they all have a body type. 6'5", this guy, 209 pounds. So I think if you look at him, you look at Nada, you look at Kane, they're all trying for that role.
The big
wide out.
Hazelwood's big, isn't he?
Who?
Hazelwood, isn't he big as well?
He's like 6'4" around there.
He's like 6'3". Like, yeah. But the kid out of the kid that they just signed, you don't want to look at his CMO tape. You want to look at his NEO tape. And I think at the NEO, I think he had like 142 receptions or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Northeast Oklahoma. That's one of the top tier junior colleges that everybody used to come out of. Like over there, there's a couple in Arizona. So.
And while we're talking about wide receivers as well, I mean, I think that we've heard a lot about Nada and how he's kind of been popping off as the best wide receiver four on the team in practices so far. But I have to say, Olamide, he played pretty well in the open practice. I saw him have a couple good catches. There was one in the back of the end zone in particular that he had a nice little acrobatic fall catch.
What about Quez?
I think Quez has solidified his number three spot as much as
No, Bill. What did you see in practice?
Did I see? I wasn't looking. If I'm going to be honest, after being out there baked in the hot sun, sitting on a tailgate, there was at times I had look. Well, I was watching,
I got Gale a giant.
I'm about to go right in. I looked at Evan, he's like, you want to read his water ice? And I said, bro, I'm like, thank you. He came back with that reader. I wanted mango, but they ran out.
Yeah.
What did I get? A blueberry?
Blue Raz.
Had a blue tongue and everything. But I'm sitting there getting brain freeze, looking hilarious. At Ev. I'm like, bro, I was in so much pain, but it was so good.
In the back of me, he's like,
it was so good. It was the best Rita's ice I've ever had in my life.
Try the Georgia Peach if you ever get a chance to.
It was all about, dude. We were dying in that heat, and that water ice just, I feel like it brought our body temperature down like 20 degrees. It was great.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand, and he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, clickgranger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ooh. Chris Dropkins. Oh God.
Oh.
Riddick and Nolan are considered linebackers too, right? They are considered linebackers. I think Nolan more than Riddick though, because I think he's used to dropping back as well. but now it's like when you look at Riddick, it's like he's an outside rusher, and he may give you a little flats, like a cover little flats just to be a decoy. But do you really want your best pass rusher drop it in the coverage? Mm. No.
Mark Bird says the Devin Allen clock is ticking. And while I agree with you, I just want to throw out the caveat that there was a time, once upon a time during Eagles training camp, where I was sitting here saying, I am sick and tired of the Jordan Mailata experiment. It's time to move on. And boy, was I wrong.
you really were saying that?
Dude, we were like 4 years into it, and he hadn't done anything.
You really were saying that?
Yeah, like four years in when he hadn't played.
I went with y'all, so I was like, I couldn't tell you what I've seen, and the progress. It was like, I didn't have that. Only reason that I didn't have that mindset is because I've seen some practice stuff, and I've seen him working with Trey. Not only that, it's like seeing Steve. I don't know if you remember the kid Steve Neal. He was an All Pro for the New England Patriots, and I may have told you guys this before, but he never played a single down of college football. He was a wrestler. We had him on our team, on our practice squad. They had him at D-line at first, running practice stuff. Then they had him at offensive line, practice stuff. The next week, Steve was gone. The New England Patriots had got him, made him into a guard. He was an All-Pro guard, won like three of their Super Bowls with him. I was like, son of a bunion. So, you know, you never know when you have a big athletic guy and they've never played football before. It's kind of easy to teach them, especially if they're willing to learn. So, I'm kind of like with you on the Devin Allen thing. This is, the clock is, to me, the clock is still ticking.
100%.
But I think that this, he, like right now, what they did for him so far as bringing him in on the PUP list and then just like activating him now and giving him an opportunity, this is his shot. He's got this is a good shot. And he needs to show him something to where they'll keep him in some kind of capacity.
My thing about it's about finding someone they can develop. But at the end of the day, I don't even think it's, you know, I don't think he's in the equation. You know, obviously he showed out on a last year preseason. I think they're just developing him. I mean, if they can get something out of him, fine. But at the end of the day, I think I know who our five are already at the moment. If you can't get on special teams and contribute, that's at the end of the day, your wide receiver five and four, they got to be in the mix in that. I think someone was up on the screen. I forgot what that comment was up. I was going to say something on it.
Don was talking about, if we were able to keep our Thega Whiteside around for years, we can give Devin Allen. There's a big caveat there. One.
Draft capital.
Yeah, man. JJ was a second-round pick versus we're talking about an undrafted free agent.
Yeah.
Those guys get a little bit more leeway.
A lot more leeway. What the hell do you mean?
Yeah.
I started my rookie year. There was a particular first-round draft pick that did not play one single snap of a game until the 16th game of the season.
Was that when everybody was sitting?
No. We had to win the game. We had to win the game to get into the playoffs. So we played against the Jets. That's when Tyrone Depper went on TV, and the Jets were like 1-14. It's like, hell, if we can't beat the Jets, we need to be at home. That's when Hugh was still with the Jets. He gave him all. Hugh had like three or four sacks, dude. They gave us all. We ended up winning, and that was my first playoff game was listening to Jeffrey Osborne sing the national anthem. He woo woo wooed would be mine, oh mine. But it was like, it's kind of like they get way too many, not only with the team that they get drafted by, but the rest of the NFL. You're not old enough to remember John Harris. You probably heard about John Harris. John Harris was drafted to be the predecessor to William Fuller. William Fuller had 3 years in a row where he had 12 plus sacks and left defensive end, and he was a free agent after that. They didn't sign him back. He signed with San Diego and had another 3 or 4 years of 10-plus sacks at the left defensive end. We drafted John Harris in the first round. We proceeded to keep him, and that was the first time I had ever seen a coach cry. Our defensive line coach cried because they had to release Eddie Kalu, who got drafted in the fifth round, and he was 10 times better than John Harris, who got drafted in the first round. The coach was crying. And but the part that I'm getting to is he got two more shots after he left here.
Yeah.
We traded him to Denver. Then he got a shot at Green Bay too. The GM do not want to be wrong about anything. Akeelah Smith got a second shot somewhere after he got left Cincinnati. I don't think you're old enough to remember that ordeal either.
No, but I've seen it with even this year with N'Keal Harry. I mean, remember when he went? He was the Patriots' first round selection a few years ago, and then he bounces around. Where was he last year? I think with Chicago, and then he was, you know,
practicing. We worked him out. We worked him out.
He just signed with someone today.
Yeah, and he and now he's elsewhere. He just bounces around. He's, you know.
Now, Anthony asked Hollis, "What's the first thing you do when you get to Seattle besides play grunge music?"
Play some grunge music.
Evan's favorite.
Well, I heard you all got some quality haberdashery spots. As you can see, my team, my favorite color is green.
And you like Damn to go Skippy. Find the green.
Damn Skippy.
We all repping the Damn Skippy squad. Make sure you get your t-shirt.
Yeah, from PhillySportsShirts.com. My boy Drew, he's got the go-ahead. He's got some Kelly Green shirts that he's coming out with, too. Ooh. You guys might want to go check those out. It's tremendous. PhillySportsShirts.com.
And speaking of Kelly Green, man, me, Gail, and Prime were all we were leaving the practice that night. And Prime, it's me. I was gassed at this point. I was just ready to go. And I wasn't ready to go drop, you know, hundreds of dollars in the pro shop. I just wanted to go home at this point. And Prime's like, yo, let's go check out the pro shop. Dude, if you guys on any game day want to go to the pro shop, either get there early or go another time, man. The lines with the Kelly Green this year are going to be insane.
I got one better for you, Ev. So when you remember my autograph signing? Mm-hmm. When I get up to from my autograph signing, I just have to be right next to the pro shop. How about I turned it and it was a line? You know that line like you go through security check, like you go through security check.
Yeah.
At the airport.
Yep.
I was like, and I turned and I was like, oh God. And he was like, there was security there, and they was only letting a couple of people in at a time as they was coming in and out. And the line didn't stop. I had to go this way, then this way to go around the line. I was like, damn.
Yo, Hollis was out there looking like a melted.
Yeah, I look like Frosty the Snowman. It was like when they took him inside the museum.
If I knew you was over there, I would have swung over there. I didn't say anything.
I didn't know where I was going to be at. I'm often the Eagles' wingman when it comes to like events like this. When somebody doesn't show up, when somebody gives their word but they renege on it, and he was like, "Hey Tank, could you? I'm your wingman. So buy me a beer. That's why I'm here." Mighty Wingman.
Now,
Junior M. Zach, but what the heck? Mighty Wingman.
Yeah. Now, Mark, yes. Know if you copped a Kelly Green jersey. I gotta know, man. Like, do you wear jerseys other than your own?
Nah, you know what? I wear jerseys from, I already had a Kelly Green jersey. I already got a Harold Carmichael Kelly Green jersey.
Okay.
It's like, so I wear jerseys from when I grew up, and and I was watching people. I wear my own.
No modern day jerseys you don't have?
No. I'm actually going to get mine in Kelly Green with and the only way that you'll know that it's authentic because they will not print your jersey with H period Thomas on it, because that's how I had it on the back of my jersey when I played. So the only way you can get those is if you come to the wax. But I already got mine. I'm already ordered the 7-8 in Kelly Green because I'm an ultimate Kelly Green, and you know what the funniest crap was? Those yellow and blue jerseys.
Oh, they're hideous.
Yeah, but they look so sexy in the 7-8 on them. So I'm actually in the midst of working that deal and working my jelly to get those. But I got a Mean Joe Green. I have Barry Sanders. I have Gale Sayers. I have Walter
Payton. Gale's named after.
Yeah, Walter Payton.
I've got both of those. I got both of those.
I got Joe Montana. I got Terry Bradshaw. I got Concrete Charlie. I got Concrete Charlie's when I met Concrete Charlie a long, long time. Actually, when I was still playing, and I didn't even know who he was. And me and him became cool. And it's like every time they had like one of the little alumni get togethers, I would always talk to him. He's like one of the coolest people in the world to talk to, man. It was like when he kicked, it was kind of rough when he kicked the bucket because I had literally just saw him. It's like, man, you think you know? Yeah.
Now, Robert M. asks, how is Reed getting all this praise off of one interception and a few tackles last year? And how is Kayvon Wallace getting rips over Brown? Brown is going to be
like a Reed diss right there. I'm not going to
lie. Yeah, I mean, look, the guy was UDFA. You don't make, as a UDFA, make this much noise. I mean, he's obviously doing the right things to practice. When you look at him diagnose the run and make a beam, mm-hmm. like a protractor, direct line, there's no missteps when he comes up and run support. Obviously, I'd like to see him improve in coverage, but obviously,
Reed,
are saying he's locked in right now. So
I mean, the way I look at it, man, is that like you're saying, how is Reed getting all this praise off of one interception and a few tackles last year?
How many interceptions did Kevon got?
That's what I was going to get at, is that Reed started four games so far in his entire Eagles career. He has a pick. He has those tackles you're talking about. And he has at least two plays that I can think about that I was like, damn, that was a really good play off the top of my head from last year. Versus Kayvon Wallace, who's been here for 3 years. And what the hell's he done?
No, got drafted. The thing that you're missing is he got drafted. If you knew what it took for Reed to even get on the damn field, to even get any looks, you had to kick ass on the third. You had to kick the third string's ass, and then you had to kick the second string's ass for you to even get up there.
Make it undeniable for the coach. Yeah, to be like, there's no reason we can't play him.
Not only that, it's like the thing is like I don't think people understand this, and you said this earlier about draft picks getting more chances. It's like when you come in as undrafted, you have to be fully polished. Yeah. And when I say fully polished, like nobody on this level taught me how to dissect a zone block. Nobody taught me how to defeat an influence trap or a wham play. I learned all that stuff in college, mm-hmm. and I was fortunate enough to have some quality coaches. And the nose guard, the head coach was coaching me at nose guard, which was now that I look at it, was imperative to my career. Because he taught me all the little integral parts of just playing nose guard in general. Take all the other stuff out. Just nose guard in general, and what to look for, and how to break schemes down. And the one thing, if I can say anything, from my boy Frank Roy. Frank Roy said, he said your big ass has the ability. This is in high school. Your big ass has the ability to play on Sunday. He said that what you need to develop is killer instinct, because they called me a teddy bear. Because I was giant, and you have to run sideline to sideline 20 to 20. It's like, if you don't have that type of hustle, you will make it. And it's helped me the entire time. But that's the one thing you have to look at with Reed doing what he do as an undrafted free agent. And Kevon Wallace, you know that they thrusted him in there right away. And I never told you guys this. You know how they have scout team and practice squad? Like the rookies, we're supposed to do practice squad. So myself and Dawkins, we did practice squad one day. One day, because practice squad, they tell you don't go over there and be a dummy. You're supposed to get work too. So me and Dawkins was over there destroying stuff, and we were never asked to play practice squad again. So that's how you get out of that. But I did take it somewhere else. But Reed is not. No, he's not Ed Reed.
No, well, then the beat writers were saying that he had the play of the day today. Right. He had a diving interception, mm-hmm. And he's the one safety that has been predominantly taking all first team reps, while the other guys have been worked in. So, mm-hmm. again, like as a UDFA, Hollis will tell you got to do tremendous things to even be
considered.
I think he could be a legitimate starting free safety on this team, man. I think he's got ball hawk abilities. I think he's good at watching the quarterback's eyes and anticipating where the ball is going to go. So that's all the kinds of things you look for in a free safety, man. If he can turn the ball over a few times this year for us, I don't think anybody's going to be complaining about Reed Blanchard. you got one too many A's right there.
That was all the triple A's.
No, it's just AA that sponsors it.
No, it's AAA. Not Alcoholics Anonymous. AAA.
I'm kidding.
Now, I know a lot of people out there, you know, I've been getting people jerseys when I can. I know a lot of people out there doing the Lord's work. You know, if you have not got your Kelly Green jersey, mm-hmm. I will try my best as I take periodic. I just got back from the damn post office today. So if you hit me up, I will try my best. You know, it takes some time. I know some people are saying that it won't be till October till you get your jersey. But that's why you see crazies like us at 3 a.m. getting our jerseys, because it means something. But again, I just know how things work after all these years. So obviously, if you need a jersey that bad and you're in this chat right here, I will try my best to get you a jersey. Just send me that money. Okay. Send me that money. Okay. Sean says, who in this room here is going to the home opener? That would be all of us.
Damn, Skippy. Ryan Scott, me will be. Where are we going to be at? Where are we going to be at before the game, though?
I'll be at the Fourth John tailgate, pal.
I know. I'm going to be at live casino, though, with
sipping on private stock.
Yeah, with Philly Sports Trips.
are you guys are tailgating in the same spot that Vince had his birthday, right?
Yeah. And then the first trip is down to New England. That should be fun.
That should be fun. We'll be there for the Philly Sports Trip tailgate.
Are you guys going to New England?
Mm-hmm. I think so. I think we have to.
I think it's gonna be fun because I think the night before I think we're having a party at one of the Eagles bars there. And it should be a tremendous time. It looks like, from what I can see, what the venue says, and you know the layout of fine adult beverages. Damn, Skippy.
I gotta say too, like the one thing I'm kind of looking forward to, and it is coming off of the heels of this open practice, dude. I was sweating my ass off at that open practice, and I know that these tailgates that we throw earlier in the season, all tend to be hot as hell. Hopefully, right. Up in New England, we got some reasonable temperatures going for week one. That'd be nice. That'd be a 70-degree day or something.
People were laughing at me because I had long sleeves on yesterday.
I was laughing at you.
Well, I mean,
I was like, what the hell is this guy doing?
You do look like somebody's uncle out there.
See, I'm sweating. Like, obviously, I got the desert look because, you know, you guys got dark material on. I'm trying to stay
cool. I mean, dude, I was in the cotton shirt, so I was not.
Well, initially, Ev, I had on a light gray eagle, old school eagle on the front, mm-hmm. And I had a black bucket hat on with the old school eagle on it. Mm. Came about the gray shirt did nothing for me. I came about that, so I was like, so this is how Triple A treated me. It's like, and no. It was a bunch of, and I should have known better because it was a team. I looked at, I was like, you guys have never done this before. They sent some newbies over here. So they was like, yeah, this is our first time. No tent set up. It was 80 plus degrees outside with the barometric pressure steadily rising and the dew point was holding steady at 78. So, so I was like, okay. So then they didn't have a table set up to sign autographs. They was like, we're just giving out pictures. I was like, these people don't want no damn pictures. They want autographs. So then I had to take their table and get me a chair. And guess who was sitting in the chair, the only chair that they supposedly had? The security guard. She was sitting over there like this. I was like, really?
Napping?
Yeah, chilling. I was like, you're supposed to be security. They was like, well, I was like, what, she don't want to tell her to get her ass up and do her job? Come on. So then I'm sitting there signing autographs. So you would think as they see the sweat pouring off my head, because I've taken off my bucket hat because I've sweated it out. And everybody's like, man, it's hot out here. Here, sign this. Okay. Sorry about the sweat on you. I have 15 minutes left in my interview. And they bring me a tent then.
Afterwards.
And so then I'm with a newbie that's taking care of, that's my handler. So she doesn't know to cut the line off when there's 5 minutes left. Mm. So now I look like a jerk walking away from a line full of people. at 6:35. I was only supposed to be there till 6:30.
Well, I mean, the positive is that's the handler's job to relay that information.
I'm sure they're talking shit on you today.
Well, now the people, they saw, they was like, man, it is hot out here. I took a bunch of pictures and stuff. It was pretty cool though. The fans were, they were understanding, and it was like nobody was obnoxious or anything. It was great.
What's your guys' favorite spot to sit in the stadium to watch a game?
Right where we're
on
at
the
now.
Sideline.
Ooh, flex. I'm gonna
on the
go
sideline right on the end bench where I was.
I'm gonna go seat 131, row 12. That's where shout out to see. You know, if I wasn't buying a house, it'd be a different story. But offered season tickets. I was like, you know what, Prime. I know Prime would do something with these tickets right now. So Prime is a season ticket holder. This year, he's so Prime is proud of anything Eagles.
He's got the license.
But as a season ticket holder, he can now flex. But I think that with the seats we're watching, it's almost like watching all 22. So you can get to see the plays. Wow. I call things out. Feel like I'm doing something out there.
This you want you? I kind of have two flexes. One is the owner's box. And the other is up there with Merle Reese while he's calling the game.
When I threw the question out there, it was like, you know, realistic places that other people could get to.
You didn't tell me that.
I didn't add that caveat. That's my
okay. Deepest apologies. this is delicious, by the way.
You know, I know you in there with him farting up a storm up there with Merrill over there.
No, it'd be Merrill the quick enough.
And then like a hot box up in there.
No, it's actually
smells something rotten in here, Hollis.
The window's open.
Anthony says he's seen Hollis five times, never got an autograph.
Damn, man. What you was waiting on?
He's waiting. He's at the back of that line, still waiting.
No, he's not at the back of the line. He's seen me five times up close and personal. I think we probably got a couple of pictures together. Mm.
Bob and Down Under says he only gets 30 yard line, standing only ticks.
30
I just want to give a shout out to Philly Sports Trips. Now, if we talked about going on trips. Now, if you're looking to book a trip, go to phillysportstrips.com. They have all these packages that you can go on.
Don't forget the bus trips. Yeah, I like to go on the bus trips.
Yeah, you like bus trips. They cover all sports now, not just football, but also baseball. If you do that hockey, maybe. Did they do hockey trips?
Yeah. Are you going? You going to the one in the hockey trip for the outdoor game?
Hell no.
I'm going.
I don't do no hockey.
I'm going, and I'm going to London next year on the baseball game.
See, now that would be nice.
I'm going.
I know you, this guy first class. He's drinking a drink, well, and his pinky's up.
My pinky's not out. I'm a man, so.
I seen it. I walked by. I seen Hollis with his pinky up.
I grabbed my drink like this.
Let's see. Any other topics that ever did we miss something?
Yeah, bread company.
Did we miss something?
I guess not.
Did we miss something? no. Any other training camp standouts that we forgot? I mean,
we talked Nolan. We talked Sidney.
Let me.
Jalen Carter has been balling.
Let me ask you guys this thing. Yeah, he's been wrecking shop too. I was wondering what you guys thought about what do you think that Desai is going to deploy? How do you think he's going to deploy these guys? Because this is the point. Well, because we've seen the vanilla side of a defense this stacked like we are. So what are you guys expecting this year?
Out of Sean Desai, I mean, it's kind of an open ended question.
A lot of upfront.
Well, I'm just saying, are you expecting a little innovation, a little, hey, let's mug the center and not let the baddest quarterback in the land just know everything we're doing?
I think having Nolan Smith in the house gives you a tremendous wild card. I think moving him around will be very interesting. If you need to put him in coverage, throwing him out there in some coverage snaps.
Yeah.
I was going to say with his speed, it could be Stunt City, man.
Yeah, I bet that. But okay, so since you guys really didn't have any answer, this is what I envision. I envision putting Nolan out there, Sweat out there.
I just said Nolan.
Ready. I'm talking about putting them all out there at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
But putting just two defensive tackles in there and putting two other linebackers in there. And pretty much running amok because you don't know what he's going to run. And when you do that, I call it organized chaos. And organized chaos means that everybody has an assignment and you follow your assignment. I don't know if I've ever told you guys this story about how Jim Johnson became endeared to me. Mm-hmm. I was like, so when he first got here, I was like, you know, I was slightly the man, little fat ass kids, you know, I could stuff and run and do this and that. And so, you know, watching some, if you look at some of the, I had to show you too, what I'm talking about too, is when you write up all the defenses on the board, when you just look at them in just plain sight, it looks like everything is built for the safety and the linebackers to get fucking sacks. And Jim, one time Jim was just like, no, if you do your job, you may come free too. You have to do your job like you're going to come free too. And when he said that, I was like, so then it was like, it's one blitz in particular, and they know it's my favorite blitz. You want to know why it's my favorite blitz? Because I still remember the hand signals. It's even, Fox, alert, snake. That means it's an all-out blitz. As a defensive tackles, we were supposed to rush. Now, initially when I saw this, I thought I was supposed to bull rush the guard. You bull rush on the track. If the guard leaves, you keep going. That's how I got a bunch of sacks and stuff and forced fumbles, because when you listen to the integral parts of the defense and you do your job exactly the way they did tell you, then everybody eats. And that's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm looking for in this defense, especially with the guys being played with each other before, knowing that if you do your job exactly the way that you're supposed to, eventually you'll eat. Not eventually, at some point you'll eat, because they're gonna somebody's gotta come free. They can't block everybody. So
yeah. Tim brings up an interesting question, something we've been talking about this off season. How's the Juergens versus Steen battle looking? As of right now, it looks like it's leading Juergens, right?
Yeah, it looks like Juergens leads right now. And I'm cool with that. I just didn't want Juergens to we had to find a new center. But I think we just have to go with the best guys that's ready right now.
You think if Kelsey, like, let's say Juergens performs well at right guard this year,
right?
Do you think when Kelsey retires next year, we slide him over to center, or do you think that we end up just in the draft seeing what we do?
Well, no, you because Juergens is a backup center,
mm-hmm.
and so he has to kick down and Steen comes in. So I think that this gives us a tremendous balance, because on one hand, I don't like the fact that, well, I do like the fact that Juergens is going to get some quality time. I was like, but then on the other hand, you'll have to, you know, bring Steen along. And I think Steen is probably going to get some playing time as well. You know, especially like late in the games, if we're destroying people like I think we should be.
Right.
It's like, so I think this is going to be good for Juergens in the long run, because he'll know how to play guard and he'll know what the guy's thinking, especially when Kelsey does leave and Steen is over there, he could know exactly what to tell the kid.
When you say the Eagles are demolishing a team and Steen comes in because of that, are you saying he comes in with the ones? Or are you saying that the twos entirely come in?
Well, no, he's going to come in. He's going to come in. And they're going to kick Juergens to center. See, it's like when you bring that.
But I'm saying, would you still have Jalen still out there at that point?
Oh, fucking
and you're experimenting with that.
Mariota's going to be out there.
Okay.
Now, when we're kicking ass, everybody gets to play. it's kind of like in high school when I was a sophomore, and they put me on the just because I played football, they put me on the varsity team, and we was running up the score. You know, everybody wanted their name in the paper. So I was on a fast break one time, and I was with like a kid that was smaller than me, and I had ran back on the fast break, and I looked at him. I was like, if you don't pass me that fucking ball. I wanted my name in the paper. So it's just like that. Everybody's going to be looking for stats.
Now, Steen's getting some reps at left tackle as well. They're also getting some first-team reps at guard with Cam Juergens getting some first-team reps at center, giving, obviously, Kelsey some breaks during camp. So I think the fact that you get Steen getting some work across the line, I mean, at the end of the day, we really need versatility. I mean, whoever that utility guy is going to be, we need that.
Yes, it's kind of like when you're a young guy. It's like when I first came, I thought I was just going to be playing left defensive tackle. He's like, no. When you go in there, you play wherever the veteran don't want to play. It's like, damn. And every veteran wants to play left tackle because you lined up with your right hand down. So it's a. Only person that didn't line up with their right hand down was Red Hall. And I love Rhett. Because every time I went in there, he was in there. He's like, you know what to take your little fat ass? I was like, well, thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Let's see. Any other topics we've missed?
I don't know. I just work here.
I think we hit them all.
I think we've hit them all today.
What's that mean? One question we got here from Bob from Down Under. Question for you. Do you feel sorry the twos O-line going against the D-line's twos?
I do not, because sometimes in life you need to get your ass kicked to learn a lesson. And if these guys can walk away from their ass kicking the receiver from the the second D-line and at least come away with it with some information on how am I going to tackle that next time, that's valuable. They're getting better.
I don't feel sorry for them. You're right, Ev. The thing is you put the ones versus the twos. You know why you do that? Because eventually the twos are going to have to play sometime, and that's the competition that they're going to play against. I never understood that when I was playing, but now I do it, say, because when you go in there, you're not going against no two.
Yeah. You're going against their best players, especially when you're the one winning the game.
Exactly. They do that in practice all the time. So it's the one thing that I end up loving, because that's it. Pretty much how I got to play. I got started, I moved up to the second unit. I was on the first goal line unit, and I was on the first short yardage unit, maybe because I was the chubbiest there. but then, like, getting in there and playing against the ones and the twos, that's when you truly get, they see you, especially being undrafted. It's like they're not really looking for you to do anything. But then when you do something, like, who was that? Rewind that. It's like, okay.
So I got to ask you guys, based off of Pete's question, do we finally put an end to the annoying ass story that is every year at the I think the Baltimore Ravens have won something like 25 straight preseason games?
Yeah.
You think we bring that to an end?
It'll be interesting to see who plays.
It'll be interesting. Harbaugh is a extremely competitive individual, so we'll be looking to do it. Put it that way.
Yeah. I would love to see the running backs out here, the back end guys. Obviously, Trey Sermon. This is a topic that just keeps bringing. I'm already locked in. I already got my four guys. I heard some beats talking about, they could trade Boston. Boston Scott is a utility guy that I love.
He's a Giants killer.
Yes. I mean, that's worth $1.9 million, right? Alone? Beating the Giants?
Yeah.
Three times in a row?
Yeah. Okay. Somebody want to know what position I would have played if I didn't play defensive tackle? Nose guard?
Fullback?
No. You know what? The funniest thing is they tried to put me in that position. I don't like getting hit. I like dishing out pain. I probably would have played guard. That's about it. Now, something where I can attack.
Now, Robert says, I have a feeling Slayer Bradbury will take a slight step back. Who will it be? I don't believe so, man. Those guys. Bradbury had an All Pro year, second team.
And Rob, the one thing that I think that both of those guys have learned to do. And once you get to a certain point in your career as a pro, you learn what to do and what not to do. And I don't think it's like the part about taking a step back. I think with the young guys, I think the young guys will keep them young. Put it that way. Mm-hmm. If you put it this way, it was like when I don't know if you guys remember when we had Troy Vincent and Bobby Taylor playing at cornerback and stuff, and like when we get the influx of Dawkins and Damian Moore at safety, they were spry. It was like they were spry. Then we added Dirty One, Al Harris. It's like that's actually where the Buffalo package came from, because I think we were playing against Arizona Cardinals, and they ran a lot of Kings. Kings mean there's no tight end and three wide receivers, but they were still, it was three wide receivers and two running backs. So when they come out with that type of formation, you can't put a linebacker out there on the damn wide receiver. That's what the Buffalo formation, I was telling you guys, that's where it came from. So the thing that you want to do as a defense coordinator is you want to match personnel, but you also want to be able to have a myriad of things that you can run and still run that you would normally run out of regular, but you have different personnel in there. Chris!
Hey, Hollis, you're talking about formations. Now, yeah. Let's check out this formation. I don't know if you guys seen this formation. This formation was where the 49ers thought that they could block our front.
Look how panicked Brock looks right there.
With Brock Purdy Tyler Kroft trying to block.
It's kind of funny that you put that up there. If you get a chance on one of the trips and you meet Wilbur Montgomery, ask him about Kyle Shanahan and getting quarterbacks hurt just like that. Because he hates Kyle Shanahan. He said he gets every quarterback that plays for him hurt because he thinks that you could block with five and then just let guys and let everybody go out. You cannot do that all the time.
Yeah. 49ers fans have hit my DMs. Now they're a little salty from that meme. They're memes, guys. Just memes. Yeah,
that means they'll get over
it. It's just memes.
You know, the funny thing is they had their punter talking about that they could have won if their quarterback hadn't got hurt. You know how stupid you sound talking about if your quarterback had to get hurt? Your offensive line is supposed to protect your quarterback, Mr. Dumbass.
Kroft.
Mr. Dumas.
Oh, but they want Tyler Kroft on Reddick.
Whatever. Exactly. They're stupid.
Let's see. Anthony has a question. He says, question for all three of y'all. First player that comes to mind when you think of Kelly Green.
First player? Honestly, the first player that came to my mind, it's either Reggie or Eric Allen.
Wow.
Harold Carmichael. I'm going to go pee.
This guy with the urinary update of the month. I'm going with Randall. I mean, Reggie too, but I just feel like Randall is just like, maybe because I like Randall. But I think overall, Kelly Green era, man. It's you know, I'm going to be honest. I was talking to Evan and I was saying, looking at all this sea of Kelly Green, I was just like, I kind of liked it when it was my own thing because I was when like there's not a lot of people that were wearing Kelly Green after the
Gail was the one that gave the Eagles the idea to go back to Kelly
Green. Yeah, obviously. But it was just one of those things where I just rock it because I just rock it, and then people were like, "Oh, that's dope. You're rocking the Kelly Green." But now just to see a whole bunch of Kelly Green. Yesterday I didn't even wear my Kelly Green jersey out there. Because everyone was wearing Kelly Green. I was like, man.
So now you're going to go back. It's kind of like what I said. It's like the forbidden fruit. Now you can have it. You don't want it.
Yeah. Gail's going to start rocking the yellow and blues. I can feel it. She's like, you know what? They're actually not that bad.
They're not that bad. You know what would be sweet, though?
He's got a Steagles jersey.
No, you know the ones that they had in like the late 70s, early 80s?
Uh-huh. were they the ones that the Vic era wore? Like in 2010, was that those ones?
I don't know. The ones with the two stripes?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's all before me.
Anthony asks a question here, which is something that we get in our DMs about is 4th and John still drinking? Of course he's still drinking Bud Light our tailgates.
We're talking about a
brand that has backed us since we started. Like all these other people that have issues are the same people who don't show up to a tailgate empty-handed, who aren't providing anything. So shout out to Bud Light for hooking y'all up at a tailgate for the last 7 years. So,
oh, but not me.
I'm saying
I'm a silver bullet. I've always been Michelob Ultra and Bud Light.
I mean, we were talking about Bud Light. Yeah, put him in the bathroom. The amount of hate that we get in our DMs for such
having
a thing,
a sponsor, it's kind of silly.
It's kind of stupid. And I'm gonna say that twice over again.
Yeah, and just to really pound it home, if you're commenting and talking how you're not coming to the tailgate because we're serving Bud Light. Yeah. We don't care. We're providing free beer and food and free entertainment. And we just want to have a good time. And we don't want to be, you know, caught up in political riffraff.
Bro, at the end of the day, we had a good time, man. Yeah. We had a good time.
I just never really been a Bud Light guy, but it's
we got it, man. We're just trying to talk about sponsors, man.
It's a quality beer. Yes, it's diverse and stuff. I'm only fucking with you. That was my evil laugh.
Yeah, Puga no says, birds. Imagine complaining about free beer.
I know.
But at the end of the day, man, appreciate you guys. I also appreciate Conchalk and Bakery. Shout out to Tina and the family. 50 years of awesomeness. Those tomato pies, they were killing them. They were killing them out there. It's always funny when you go to wherever tailgates, we get randos from all over the country that come in. Sometimes even world. Never had a tomato pie before, and they eat it. And then they come back and they're like, that was really good.
That was really good. I think a lot of people get thrown off by the no cheese, man. A lot of people, I think they think the cheese is the most important part of the pizza. But
to me, it's a different sauce. It is a different sauce.
I'm sorry, Hollis, that middle of my sentence interrupted the beginning of yours. Go ahead.
Well, no, Ev, I was just going to agree with you, but I've had the tomato pie before, and it was better than I expected. I expected to taste like hammered shit, but it was pretty tasty, and I eat it more than I care to mention.
Yeah, you got all the positive things to say about our sponsors. got to try an Evans cheesesteak.
Mm-hmm. He still has not.
Yeah, that's kind of surprising to me.
Well,
came to a tailgate.
I don't know.
No, but I mean, this is what you look like when you try one.
But hey. Hold on. Ev makes one hell of a cheeseburger as well. I don't know if you guys. I didn't get the cheesesteak, but the cheeseburger. I was almost ready to give him a pack of ground chuck and say, "Hey man, could you just cook me for me?" Like you know.
No, so Ev was flexing around with his new grill, right? And then I hadn't eaten anything all day. I'm holding down the spot, and all of a sudden, Ev just comes out of nowhere. With bacon, he just throws the bacon on the. He's like, seasoning bacon. The grill, like. The grill up before the cheesesteak, so the cheesesteaks had a little bacon flavor to it as well.
You just brought a tear to my eye because my dad, rest his soul. He was the chef, and on these slim times when they heat like in the summertime when I would go in, I was a dishwasher and his prep cook. On the times when I would go in. That's how he would literally season the grill. Mm-hmm. He would start, but the bacon was for like the bacon cheeseburgers.
Yep.
And they would grill chicken with bacon on them. But he would start it out bacon lined all up over the whole grill. And I would wait till he was gone to steal some of the tasty crisp pieces of bacon. And it was just like, man. As soon as you said that, I was like, man.
Yeah. That's kind of the problem that I've run into is that I wanted to up the grill game for this next year's tailgate, and I did that. And I went and I got a Blackstone. I went with the premier brand. But the issue is that I live in a small apartment. I got no place to put this thing.
One of the other things you could do too? To up the sexiness and the deliciousness of your cheesesteaks and burgers.
What's that?
Sometimes my dad used to take a raw onion and rub the grill down. And it makes everything delicious.
A raw onion.
Yeah.
I usually do.
While it was on, though.
The issue that I ran into is that I wanted to season that grill before even the tailgate happened. And then I showed up and there was already some people there. And Gail comes over to me at one point and he goes, "Yo, so whenever you're ready to start throwing some food on, I think we're all good." And I was like, "Yeah, it's not that I don't want to. It's a matter of I'm not trying to throw some food on an unseasoned grill." So I had to, it was a solid like 40-minute process. I did some olive oil. And I spread that all around, let that burn off, and then I threw some bacon on there, some nice fatty meats to get that soaked into the grill top. And then it was cheesesteak time. But luckily, we don't need to do all that seasoning next time. We got a nice seasoning on it right now.
Pour beer on the onion and caramelize it.
Ooh. Interesting.
That is sexy.
What was the donito? That's what we're gonna do. A taco, with a donut filled with meat. And...
Well, I think we're completely off the rails at this point.
Yes, we are. CH blank blank CH. You are.
So Jacob, who's down, who's from Louisiana, he says, I've been to many tailgates, including the famous LSU tailgates, and I'll be 100% honest, I enjoyed the 4th of John tailgate more.
Oh, cool.
Blessings.
Yes. Blessings. Thank you so much.
Mazel.
And then he also got married this year, so blessings to you and your lovely wife as well. Pete Nathan, he's coming in off the top row. Raw onion trick is good for regular grill, not so much for the flat top grill.
I'm just telling you what my dad did for the flat top. it was a restaurant, and he kind of did. It was, and it's good for both grills, but you know.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Now for our last word, a shout out to Prime, who's got held hostage at work. They said
ML.
Mal got held hostage by a baby.
By a kid.
He said, "You better change my diaper or else."
He's like, "Look here, buddy.
That's real shit. No pun intended."
Did Gail just curse? I never heard Gail curse. Wow.
So, last word. Last word there, Mr. Hollis Thomas.
I'd like to thank y'all for coming out. God bless. And it's the Eagle season is upon us. It's like right there. You can almost taste it. But I'm glad to be back, basically. Good times are ready to roll. It's about the time for the sun to start going down a little bit earlier and us to start not sweating so much outside. Yes. And the forest fires to get put out.
Absolutely.
Go Birds.
Go Birds. Hollis, I got to say, I love the green lit beard tonight.
Oh, thank you.
It's a nice little hue going on in your beard right now. But yeah, I just want to thank everybody that came out to the tailgate. I look forward to seeing you guys in a few weeks when we start officially throwing down for the new year. Yeah, man, just excited for the new year and go Birds.
Appreciate everyone who stopped by the tailgate. Before the practice, man, again, like all the other people that the crazies out there, whether it was at the Jersey, Kelly Green pickup, just to see the crazy Eagle fans, that gets me going because I'm like, you know, like you meet people and you're like, bro, you like the Eagles just as much as I do, or you're as crazy as I am about the Eagles. At the end of the day, that energy, seeing 50,000 Eagle fans just geeked out for no reason, just people bringing their kids. It's like kids are getting their first time at like, you know, Eagle events. You know, you see the look in their eyes. We're at a tailgate. Kids geeked up about the Eagles. This is how it starts, dog.
Yeah.
They see a Hollis Thomas walk away from them trying to get an autograph. This is how it starts.
I slap high fives to the little homies and stuff, you know.
Yeah. I think it's worth mentioning, too. I'm pretty sure that Citizens Bank Park holds 45,000 people. And so that Eagles open practice, had it been in Citizens Bank Park, would have been above capacity. So it's pretty impressive for a practice, if you ask me, man.
So, I mean, in terms of tailgate and everything, we won't be seeing you until the home opener. But we got word from Jennifer Slay that she was planning to bring
that banana pudding.
Banana pudding. And then the only people who get banana pudding.
Banana pudding?
Banana pudding. Okay. The only people who get the banana pudding are the players and the people at the 4th and John tailgate. So
tailgate and player exclusive.
So shout out to the slaves doing the Lord's work. And shout out to Prime and Mal. And thank you guys, all the people in the chat. We'll see you guys in the next one. And as always, fly, Eagles, fly.
Damn skip.
Damn skippy.
I just gotta hit that button, man.
Oh, wow, man. The production sucks today.
Just gotta hit that button, bro.
I thought.